Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 509-727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John here at the station for working to make this happen. And if you want to see what John looks like, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. And you could follow us on TikTok at least for another month or so, depending upon if it gets shut down or not. Mm-hmm. But yeah, John McKay, despite all of that craziness, how are you doing over there?
Good.
Good. You made it through another week.
Yes, we did. Okay. And Thursday, we put our not-so-little one on a plane for Vegas. She's running around down there this weekend.
Okay.
More softball showcase tournament.
I imagine chasing some softballs around. So very, yes. very good. Well, we are back here talking about real estate in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And last week we kind of talked a little bit about, it was, you know, a week ago, it was crazy how it was kind of breaking news about the fires in LA and what mm-hmm. happened in the Palisades. And there's been a lot of talk about that since. We also have some number of local fire crews down there. So thank you for all your service down there. It's been cool to kind of see the updates from them and what they're doing. And mm-hmm. it was kind of cool. I was actually watching a national influencer that was recording, and he said, I wanted to give a shout out, and all the fire trucks were all parked down there. Mm-hmm. And he came across, you saw Benton County come across and then Walla Walla.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just awesome. He did get a kick out of Walla Walla. Like, yeah, he very much emphasized the names. So.
Has he never watched any Bugs Bunny cartoons? Acme Vacuum Cleaner Company of Walla Walla, Washington.
I don't think he
come
has.
On,
so
people.
It was really, really good. So it was great to see all the additional help and that our local citizens and first responders have done down there. So thanks again for that. On a little bit lighter note mm-hmm. with that situation, McKay, some houses have been miraculously spared. And I tell you what, some of those stories are gut-wrenching to watch.
I saw a guy that was pumping water out of his swimming pool.
Absolutely. And there was, I saw that exact same one, and it was pretty incredible, some of the people that were prepared with those hoses and that mm-hmm. type of style. Also, the Beverly Hills 90210 house was saved. It was spared. Mm. I know that was on your mind. No. Okay, no.
No.
Okay. But interestingly enough,
I mean, we don't want to see anybody's
home
go up.
We don't want to see any of them.
I had not thought of that.
That one was spared. But it was very, very interesting because I think what you're going to see come out of this as they rebuild mm-hmm. is a lot of focus on design and some case studies of what houses did survive.
Yeah.
And there's actually a whole movement of some of these houses called passive houses.
Mm-hmm.
And passive houses started, it's twofold, as an energy savings design. So basically to be considered a passive house, it has to use 86% less energy for heating than a normally constructed house.
Okay.
And 46% less for cooling. So how are they doing this? They're doing this with very, very tight insulated envelopes. So there's not a lot of air loss from the interior to the exterior. Well, what does that do? That also makes it so that additional heat can't come in. The design of these homes are simpler roof designs.
Mm-hmm.
So in a fire, what it does is it doesn't allow those nooks and crannies for the embers to get into.
Mm.
And so there's been a number of examples from these fires of a few passive designed homes that withstood the fires. You can see on both sides of them, the other house is gone, but these designs made it through this disaster. Now, here's the kicker on that, though. What it'll be very, very interesting in the rebuild process to see what comes with this is a much higher cost. because you have additional insulation. You have a higher glazing on the window. So the because if you lose, say, a window blows out and didn't have the right glazing on it to withstand the fire, then immediately those embers and stuff, you know, are getting inside the home and it's gone.
Yeah.
And so you've got to look at cost. And I think what we're going to see in the rebuilding of this is we're going to see some of the same that we've always seen, but we're also going to see a number of people, I think, making the choice to build these type of passive homes. And there's a lot of discussion around it right now. So yeah. And in fact, I look forward to a couple shows later in the year. I'm going to let the dust settle on this a little bit, but there's been a ton of talk about what's going to happen from a real estate perspective. I'm very, very interested to see what the permitting process looks like, how they're going to fast track the permitting process if they decide to fast track it. And fast track to you and I might be way different than what they're thinking, but there's going to have to be some concessions made and some different systems and strategies put into place to allow these communities a chance to rebuild on a realistic time frame.
Yeah.
And so from a real estate perspective, I'm definitely following all of that. It's absolutely fascinating to keep an eye on. For the people that are struggling and going through that, our thoughts are with you guys. And we definitely, once again, just can't thank enough the people that are down there helping, making a difference, boots on the ground. So thanks to the local crews doing that. Well, John, we always like to, last week, we went through the predictions of 2024, what I got right, what I definitely got wrong. So I went back to the drawing board and I retooled as we looked at predictions for 2025. And so a lot of people are talking right now, what's going to happen in the housing market? What does that look like here in the Columbia Basin for us moving forward into 2025? And how do you think that's going to play out? So some of those predictions that we talked about last year, I think it's important to bring those forward to 2025 because a lot of people ask these questions. And the first one that we get a lot of the time, and we're going to talk about this on a number of points today, and that is, Lance, what do you think will happen with house prices? We already feel like house prices are elevated. What do you think is going to happen in that situation? Well, I think if people are waiting for those prices to drop, they're going to continue waiting. Now, we haven't had the double-digit appreciation that we had 4 years ago.
Okay.
In fact, one of the things we talked about last week was basically a 2% appreciation in the Tri-Cities for that. What I think is going to happen is I think we're normalizing in our market with home appreciation. My prediction for 2025 is that you're going to see Tri-City home prices appreciate again by about 4%. So my prediction is that they will appreciate by 4%.
Okay.
You have to look when you buy, and one of the things people haven't quite gotten used to yet is it always was kind of a standard rule of thumb that if you were going to be in a house in the Tri-Cities for 4 to 5 years, it was probably make sense to buy.
Yeah.
What happened is when prices were appreciating by 10, 11, 12% here, people got into the habit of if they were just going to be here for 2 years, they would buy. Well, when prices are on, there's some transactional costs that happen in that situation. And when prices are only increasing between 2 to 4%, we're going back to that old rule of thumb that if you haven't owned that house for 4 years, it's probably going to be difficult with the transactional cost to recoup your money and get out of that house. And so we're getting back to that where people need to think a little bit longer term on some of the purchases they're making. And then if they do want to make an upgrade, have they been in that house for 3 to 4 years? So this will help if we can get that appreciation rate from 2% to 4%, it recoups another year faster to when it makes sense to make the move. So I'm thinking we're seeing a lot of new contractors here, a lot of new businesses come into play, and I don't think there's going to be any relief in housing prices. I think they're going to continue to appreciate here. So for the people that do own now, good news. I'm projecting more equity coming in 2025. I'm going to take another stab at interest rates.
Okay.
And hopefully this just isn't wishful thinking. Okay. But, you know, when I research and look at what the economists are saying and go to NAR and Zillow and all of these sites, everybody, it scares me a little bit because normally I don't believe it when everybody's saying the same thing. Like, that's kind of a red flag sometimes. Mm-hmm. I personally do feel that interest rates are going to settle back down around 6%. Right now we're sitting at about 7%. Like, it's not a great number right now. A lot of people thought post-election we were going to see that come back down, but we're still, there's still some fears in the market about where inflation's going. We actually had a really, really good labor report last week. Good for the economy, meaning there was additional job creation. Bad for housing, though, because that means to slow that down a little bit, they're going to try to potentially do that with interest rates or by not cutting rates again. However, I do feel like one of the things that is happening is whether this is a direct control or not, or an indirect control, I feel like the new administration is going to put a big focus on keeping rates down. They are not going to want to see major rate hikes that first year that they're in office.
No.
And I think they will do whatever they can to try to mitigate and control that. Good, bad, or indifferent. There's a lot of things that could go off the rails in that situation pretty quickly. But at this point, I think you're going to see them try to keep those rates down and keep the housing sector very, very healthy. I would love to see that rate settle out around 6%.
Okay.
And people are adjusting to that. They've kind of made the adjustment to that. So those affect everybody here locally on a very large level. The first two predictions that I made and then we talked about. The third one that I'm talking about is a little bit more national, but Washington State was really a leader in this. And the third thing that I've talked about is I don't think the real estate industry, my prediction for 2025 is I don't think we're done with all of the forms changes that we have had from litigation about commissions. So what happened last year is they settled a lot of those lawsuits on a national level. They instituted a lot of new forms. Now, as a buyer, you have to have a contract with your agent to go look at homes. And that was part of the settlement agreement that came out. But one of the things that I always talk about is sometimes when you're trying to fix one problem, you create a new problem. And one of the things that they're trying to create is additional choice and leverage for buyers so that they can get cheaper transactional costs in the real estate transaction. Well, they did this as part of the settlement saying, well, for buyers to pay their own commission, first, you have to have a contractual agreement for the buyer to pay that. Well, the issue is that to force that into the industry, they basically are like, you have to sign this before you go see one house. Well, what does this mean? Can you really meet somebody and then make a determination what you're going to negotiate their fee to be prior to going to see one single house? Even if you have an hour consultation with that person, there you might not get somebody that jives with you or what you're doing.
Yeah.
Now, there's language around that. There's exclusive, non-exclusive, and we've warned about that on the show and talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times in that situation, people don't understand what they're signing. Number one, they've never had to sign something like this anyway to go and tour these homes. They don't understand. So if they get stuck with a bad apple, it's very, very difficult for them to change. Well, what you have now is you have the Department of Justice starting to look into this. You have them on a national level wanting to reopen an investigation into the National Association of Realtors, and they want to put their mark on this. I truly believe that they want to institute a change that they did not get in the first settlement go around. And so I think you're going to see this isn't done yet. You know, we had some settlements and stuff, but I think you're going to see another change, another round of revisions to our forms in 2025 that affect the buyers and how they work with their agents. All right. Prediction number four. And we've got a lot to talk about this. I'm going to give you this to chew on before the break, and then we can come back. We're going to talk more about this. But in 2025, I believe you're going to have record numbers of parents helping their children with down payments to buy houses.
Mm.
It's coming. We're going to talk about it more. after the break.
Right here on News Talk 870. Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been going over my 2025 predictions on what I think is going to happen in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to my remaining four big predictions, I've got some inventory for you.
Okay.
Oh, man, and we have listed some fantastic houses. I told you, John, if it doesn't snow, we're going to put some great houses on the market. Pick number one. This one's got me drooling a little bit. 195 McDonald Drive in Pasco. 3-bed, 4-bath, 4,550 square feet, custom Doug Browning built house with Columbia River views. Open concept, great room. Gourmet kitchen, large, super large entertaining granite island, gas stoves, Bosch stainless steel appliances, custom cabinetry. I could go on and on. Absolutely luxury spa-like primary suite. Heated floors, dual sink vanities, custom tiled shower. And this is coming in at $1.145 million. So $1.1 million, but beautiful building lot. Perfectly flat. No rear neighbors. Just absolutely fantastic North Pasco home. Now, pick number two. I'm bringing you in some great values here with this. Pick number two, 3538 South Huntington Loop in Kennewick. This is a 1461 Village at Canyon Lakes community.
Okay.
You've got an attached two-car garage, LVP flooring, vaulted ceilings, open concept great room, fully equipped kitchen, all appliances. Private primary suite has dual sink vanity, large walk-in closet. So listen to this. Okay. Canyon Lakes, 1461 square feet, $345,000. I mean, it is very, very difficult to get into that neighborhood for that price point. So that was 3538 South Huntington. And then another great, great property, which it's very difficult to find these properties that are under that $400,000 mark in Tri-Cities. 525 East 8th Place in Kennewick. Completely remodeled, new flooring, new interior, new exterior paint. Great kitchen with butcher block counters, shiplap backsplash, stainless steel appliances, fully modernized bathroom, fully fenced backyard. And listen to this price point on this, $295,000. If somebody's been saying, man, I can't get into a starter house that looks nice and is clean, this one's completely remodeled and on the market for $295,000. So there is some absolutely great, great inventory on the market right now. So, John, before the break, I said that in 2025, you would see more parents than ever help children with down payments. Why do you think I said that?
Because it's more expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. You nailed it. It is. You can't tell you. Two appointments I was on last week, and the clients at those appointments, I was talking to sellers and they were moving. Both of them said to me, Lance, how are kids doing it these days? How are first time home buyers doing it these days? What, you know, with these prices. You know, at the same time, they have a unique perspective. So they're saying to me, they're like, hey, I'm really excited that you're getting me all this equity.
Mm-hmm.
But how's the next generation going to deal with this? So there's a couple things to note here, which happened. And the reason why this is a concern, if you look at Gen X and boomers, if you look at both of those demographics,
okay,
the wealth creation they have had in the last 10 years has been absolutely crazy. So St. Louis Fed data, I pulled up the charts and looked at this, suggests that household wealth in that 10-year time period, which takes into account home equity, has gone from $80,000 to $160,000. Now, this is on a national level. So it's doubled in 10 years. certain markets that I looked at, that number has gone from 125,000 to 250,000. So you've got equity locked up in these homes.
Mm-hmm.
That is a massive amount of equity, the most wealth that we've seen in generations. And now the question becomes, how do they transfer that wealth to the next generation? Well, a lot of people are doing this through down payment assistance for family members, for kids, grandparents giving down payments to grandchildren, parents to kids. And so either selling their house, taking out home equity loans, when they're downsizing, helping their kids get into homes. And so I think what you're going to see is you're going to see the down payment assistance for the next generation of home buyers, millennials and Gen Z. You're going to see more down payment assistance than we've ever had in the form of gift funds for down payments from family members. I just don't think there's any way around it for what we're looking towards. Number five that I wrote down, and this is a continuation of last year, especially here in the Tri-Cities market.
Okay.
We were shocked last week when we went over the numbers and we had seen that townhome and condominium sales had increased by 50% in the Tri-Cities. And my prediction says that that's going to be up another 10% in 2025. It's what I was talking about in the previous point about parents having to help kids. The same reason why I think there's going to be parents helping with down payments is the exact same reason why we're going to continue to see the townhome market explode here in the Columbia Basin. It's the most affordable option of new construction for first-time home buyers. And so this is how they're listening to their parents. They're looking at boomers and Gen X, and they're saying, we want to have equity too. We know you've taught us that's how you generated household wealth. And so to do that, what are we going to do? They're going to buy townhomes and condos as that first stepping stone to get into that product. Tri-Cities, there's going to be other options coming down the road. So there's going to be 3D printing eventually. There's going to be modular homes built on site homes. But it's just too early right now. And so what we're going to see is we're going to see the majority push of this with zoning laws and what we have go into townhomes and condos. Pick number six.
Okay.
My prediction number six says you are going to see Tri-Cities start to have more competition in the building sector from a second national home builder. So we had 3 years ago, we had D.R. Horton come into the market.
Okay.
They've had relative traction and success in our market.
Okay.
And so that's not going to go unnoticed. What happens in these cases in generally, when one national builder comes to a marketplace like that, and they continue to be successful there, trust me, their competitors don't just like close their eyes and ignore that. And so for choices, new construction choices for the consumers, I think you're going to see an announcement in 2025 that Tri-Cities has a second national home builder coming to our market here, which will be great for consumer choice. You'll see developers do development slightly different to accommodate those type of numbers. And eventually we're going to get back to an inventory number because of some of this that is a stable number in Tri-Cities. We're still heavily favored towards the seller side in our market with the sales. And then last but not least, the top 10 housing markets are going to be continually dominated by the Midwest and the East Coast. I believe that the West Coast, we had such quick, rapid appreciation that we're not attracting the investor sales that we need to be considered one of the hot markets in the nation. These investors can find job growth in Midwest cities and East Coast cities. The Carolinas will continue to be popular.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll see Indianapolis, Indiana, some of those Midwest cities that have good job growth and relatively lower median home price points. You're going to see some of those attract the investment dollars over the course of the next year. And so what that's going to do is that's going to limit the amount of those dollars going to the West Coast until this equalizes a little bit. So I think we're going to see another big year Midwest, and I actually think you'll probably, if any, I think you'll only see potentially 1 to 2 West Coast cities on that top housing markets, top 10 housing markets for 2025. So
Arizona expected to do well too.
Arizona expected to do well, but they're also Arizona, when Arizona did really, really well, mm-hmm. was when there was a second home market.
Yeah.
And it was much easier to buy a second home at 3% interest mm-hmm. than it is at 7.
Yeah.
And so unless we get that relief I was talking about to 6 and below, then that's the, in my opinion, that's the biggest thing that's keeping those Sunbelt cities out of the top 10.
Yeah.
Is because the second home markets there dried up when mm-hmm. we lost a lot of the purchasing power on interest rates.
Because they picked up a couple of like business and industry, and
yep.
they've moved into the top 5 or top 10 of where businesses are going
to. Absolutely. And that's what you need. I mean, you need to attract those jobs. And that's one of the reasons why I'm doubling up on our appreciation here in Tri-Cities, because a lot of our big employers, a lot of these big plants and stuff that's happening, those jobs are actually coming online in 2025, and we're starting to now get the referrals to staff those as far as home purchases go. So that's what we got, folks. Those are the 2025 predictions. I always look forward to talking to you next year in 2026 when we look at seeing if how right or how wrong I was. Regardless of what happens with those predictions, we're going to be living it every single day.
Yes.
So if you have any questions about the market, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. We would absolutely love to hear from you. And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870. Our house.